Matthew chapter number 9, verses 16 and 17. You can't have my high. Today, as we celebrate Friends and Family Day, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to reflect on your greatest accomplishments in life, your greatest achievements in life. I'm willing to go on record this morning to say that more people were hating on you instead of celebrating with you. We as people, we're funny. We're funny in that when people are having great moments in life, we think something is wrong if we celebrate with people. So instead of celebrating with you, we talk about you. We begin to challenge you and we begin to question, who are you? Who are you to receive such blessings from God? Who are you to get a promotion? Who are you to achieve this? Or who are you that your child is being promoted in a scholarship and off to college? We hate on folks. There's too many haters in God's house. Now, it's all right if the world is going through that, but when we begin to do it in the church, we really understand that we have issues. And the issue most of the time is people don't celebrate with you because they want to keep you in a box. They want to keep you in their comfort zone. So instead of celebrating with you during your breakout season in life, they try to box you in and tell you, you can't have that. You can't do that. That's impossible. That's not going to work. See, what they understand about you is that if you ever move to your season, get into your zone, get into the anointing that God has for you, there's nothing that no one can do to stop you when you find yourself in your breakout season. But in order for you to get in your breakout season, you got to do something different. You can't continue to do the same things while expecting a different result. We call that being crazy. The same guy, yet he still won't give you an engagement ring. And you keep going back and you wonder why. If it's the same situation, don't expect something different. If it's the same friend you keep telling your business to and they keep stabbing you in the back and you keep thinking they're going to change. No. It's the same situation and a snake will bite because that's their nature to bite. See, we have to understand the people that we're dealing with. When we begin to understand the people that we're dealing with, we have to understand everybody don't want to see you blessed. I know you got some folk in your family. I know you got some folk in your church. You thought they were praying for you, only to discover they were really praying that God didn't do that thing in your life. You see, everybody who says, girlfriend or guy friend, tell me your business, I want to pray for you, they're really not praying for you. They're trying to receive the information so they can call Sally and call Dick and call John and tell them what you're going through. You have to know that God says if you come into your secret closet, that's the place where you begin to talk to God. And if you hang around long enough, God begins to talk to you. And when God begins to talk to you and he begins to order your steps, every step that you take, God is saying, but I got you. I know that danger is all around, but you're not going to fall off the cliff. I know that the bills are past due, but you own it right now, even though you don't feel like it, because God is saying, I have you right in the palm of my hand. Amen. You see, it's not about what you feel, it's about what God said. Amen. Now, the thing that I love most perhaps about Jesus other than he died on the cross is that Jesus knew the language of the day. He knew how to talk to folk. Have you ever listened to someone and everything they said to you was just way over your head?
Yeah.
But I didn't want to stop you because I didn't want to be embarrassed by telling you I didn't know what that word means. So I just let you continue, but I didn't understand. See, sometimes you come to church and we want to tell you all this high and mighty stuff when the truth is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, stretched forth on an old rugged cross. That's the gospel. We don't need to complicate that. And so Jesus knew how to speak the language of his death. Matthew picks up the story in chapter number 9 and he begins to talk about how the Pharisees was just hanging around and they wanted to know, why is Jesus hanging out with sinners? I like that. You see, because sometimes in church, we are so holy, we refuse to talk to folks in the world. I bet you got some friends. They are so holy, they have no worldly friends whatsoever. I bet you got some folk in your family. They're always trying to preach to the church folk, trying to preach to the family about going to heaven. And every time they have an opportunity to minister to someone outside of the church, they just sit. You don't know nothing about them. You see, we are bold when it comes to things of the world, but when it comes to God, we quite often are silent on that. And that's why the church today is not seeing the breakthrough that the church is supposed to see. It's because we're sitting silent. We don't want folks to think that we love the Lord. We don't want folks to think that we're sold out. You know what? I don't care what you think. You know what? When the right storms of life hit you, I bet you a holler then. When the right situation comes, you don't have a problem saying, Jesus, say amen. And what I love about Jesus, you don't have to tell him a lot. Just say, Lord, say amen. And he's right there because he knows your ups, your downs, your ins, your outs. He knows all about you. And in spite of what he knows about you, he still reached down and saved a wretch like me. Matthew begins to record the story about the Pharisees. And they wanted to know, why is this Jesus, this Jewish boy, why are you sitting down with sinners and eating meat with them? You should be somewhere in the church. And you see, that's the disconnection between the church and the world today, is because we look sometimes at the church as being a profession and not a ministry. You got to get this. See, a profession is where you show up every day and you do what you have to do, and when 5 o'clock hits, you just go home, leave everything behind. When you understand that where you are is a ministry, you understand why folk keep coming to your cubicle, because they see the anointing of God that is upon your life. Then you begin to understand in the midst of going through something why people are always calling you. See, you were fooled and thought your little ego said they really like you. It's not you, baby. It's the God in you. So don't get cute. Don't think it's about you. It's about the God that dwells in you. And the Bible declares that God dwells in the praise of his people. If you want God to live inside of you, you need to begin to praise him. Don't wait till 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. Praise him on Saturday night. You want God to live inside of you, you need to begin to praise God. Not when he's doing something, not when you need something. Just praise him anyway, because he's worthy to be praised. Is God worthy to be praised in your life? Has God done anything for you lately? If so, you ought to give him a praise this morning. Come on and praise the Lord this morning. Come on and praise him for who he is. Come on and praise him that your house didn't burn up last night. Praise him that your car is flipped over on the way to church. Praise him that mom and dad is still alive. Praise him that God has put a hedge of protection around your child. Praise him that you can still look at your child and you can thank God that they're in good health. Maybe see me. Matthew. Now, Matthew, Jesus was already sitting talking to sinners. Now, because he was sitting talking to sinners, he then left the sinners, walked by Matthew, and said to Matthew, follow me. You got to get this. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. I don't know about you, but I have issues sometimes paying my taxes. I just hate to write that check because I really don't see what you're doing with my money. I have issues with that. I have issues sometimes with sending that check off to the government, and I just clueless. Every time they say something, they in debt. They don't want to pay military soldiers. Everything going, but they still getting the tax money. I have issues with that. Don't quite understand, but that's not why we're here this morning. So Matthew is a tax collector, and the tax collector is not a like person at all. See, because in biblical days, not only did you collect the tax, but you got a little kickback for yourself. You know y'all used to go to these club houses where you play cards at, and you have to give the house?
Yeah.
Acting so holy, like y'all have never done anything. You know, every one of us in here have been through something. And if God had a move, that shield of grace, and somebody would have saw you for who you really are, you would have been messed up this morning. So don't act like you're doing all right by yourself. Because you need His grace. You need His love, His mercy. That's where we are. Matthew, the tax collector, he was sitting, Jesus walked by the tax collector, and he said to the tax collector, "Follow me." Now, what I love about that story is that he didn't ask Matthew, "Are you saved?" He didn't ask Matthew, "Tell me about your belief." He didn't ask Matthew, "Where you see yourself 5 years?" He says, "Follow me." See, he had so much confidence in his relationship with God and in the God that dwelled in him. He says, "I don't need to tell you that I'm saved. Follow me. You'll see for yourself." I wonder if you would tell some of your co-workers, "Follow me home. Follow me on a Friday night. Follow me to see where I'm going." I wonder what they see in you. Will they see salvation in you? He says to Matthew, he says, "Follow me." Matthew dropped what he was doing and he began to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus was sitting around. He was just chilling out, just having a little lunch, a little dinner with some folk who were sitting around. And what he was doing was sitting there. They were just eating some meat, just chilling and everything like that. And I'm sure because in biblical days, every time you gather together, friends gather, either it was water or it was wine. So don't act all holy like you never touched any wine, because that's where we're about to go right now, talking about some wine. And so Jesus was sitting. You see, wine in the biblical days was as common as Coke and Pepsi is today. And so you had you with me now, right? So you had a choice. Now, I didn't say Hennessy. I said wine. Watch what I'm saying, because some of y'all smiling like, "Oh, I remember just a few hours ago. Come on, come back to church. And so Jesus was sitting, and as he was sitting, I'm sure it was meat there. And it was some bread, and it was also some wine. And so while he was trying to explain something to the Pharisees, perhaps he just took what was in front of him, which was wine. And then he began to talk about this thing that he wanted them to, "I want you to see it, and then I want to bring you in. I know you won't understand it if I gave it to you raw, so let me bring it down to you in a parable." See, a parable is when you're trying to explain some revelation, but in a simple way. And so he says about the wine that was sitting in front of the Pharisees, who was acting like they were all so holy while they were drinking wine. You know, it's a strange thing about drinking wine. Every time you drink wine, the wine brings a new spirit in you. That's why you pass, just being real, that's why you pass by the liquor store today, you see spirits on the sign, because wine releases a spirit. Don't act like you ain't never seen that sign before. And so every time you'll drink wine, you'll give a different spirit. You'll change that atmosphere. That's why you can talk to drunk folks and they real bold. That's why, young ladies, when a guy who's sitting in the corner won't say anything, let him get juiced up, he'll tell you some incredible stuff. Woman, he got a line, he got a Mac line for you then, because he got a little spirit going on. And so what God is trying to tell us through Jesus Christ is this, is that you sitting sitting there, you drinking wine, and you're releasing a spirit into the atmosphere, but let me show you something about your spirit. So what he's saying is that you can't take new wine and put it in an old bottle. In essence, what he's saying is that you can't take something new and then put it with something old without it tearing apart. In essence, what he's saying is this. You can't take your old traditions, bring it into 2011, and expect kids to understand what you're talking about. They may not dress like you dress. They may not talk like you dress. They may not look like you look. But inside of them is the same God that dwells in you. You see, God is looking for somebody that he can have his way with. And God is looking for somebody today that they're saying, God, I'm open for you. And not only am I open for you, but I'm willing to go out in the world. It's too many church folk look like church folk, and so the world don't deal with them. That's why the one with the long hair, he can get a message through. That's why the one with his pants hanging down, he can talk to some sinner. Because you too cute, you too holy. He can't approach you because you already in hell. You already saved. You already just Jesus up. And folks sometimes want to talk to somebody who is real. I don't know if you ever been going through something, but I don't necessarily want you to give me a Bible verse. Baby, just be real with me. Just tell me, yeah, I understand your struggle. Just tell me I failed there too, and I fell over there too. But just tell me about a Jesus who can pick me up and turn me around, place my feet on solid ground. Tell me about a Jesus that says I can do all things if you allow me to have his way. He says to them, listen, you can't put the new wine in an old bottle. In other words, if you take the new, put it in old, he says the process called fermenting. Fermentation is a process where you take grapes, for example, and you take them and you just have to let them sit for a while. You thought your troubles was about you. God is saying, but I'm fermenting you. I'm making you the best wine because I'm going to leave you in your struggles. Now I got to leave there, and not only do I have to leave you there, but when you're fermenting something, you have to then shut off all the air from it. I don't know if you've ever been going through something and somebody hit you so hard, knocked all your little air out. But I thank God that God still breathes on me. I thank God that the Holy Spirit still breathe on me. I thank God that even when all the air and the oxygen is out me, I need to know that God is making me perfect wine. He's making me new wine so that I can release a different spirit in this atmosphere. Come on with me. The spirit that God wants to release in this atmosphere where he got some children that even though you may look like you're in the world, God says, but you are signed to me. You thought you got that job in the army because you weren't supposed to be there. He said, no, baby, I signed you there. You thought you working at Texas because you're supposed to? He says, I signed you there. You think you got a hook up at Aflac because of your resume? No, baby, I signed you there. You think you working for the state because of your resume? No, I signed you there. And because I signed you there, you need to understand, baby, that there's a ministry right there. Now, you don't preach from a pulpit. You will just preach from a cubicle. And they'll examine your life. But I wonder if you say, follow me. Will they see a God in you? I wonder if God is alive in your life. I wonder if God is being lifted up in your life. So he says, you can't take old wine and put it in a new bottle. In essence, what he's saying is that you got some traditions in your life that is separating you from me. I love what mama put inside of me and grandmama and granddad. I love everything that they did. But you know, God knows where he's taking me, not necessarily mama. And so old folks sometimes, and I don't mean anything by that, please, 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 don't you get offended. I don't mean to call you old. But this is what I'm saying. The things that work yesterday don't necessarily work today. You got to understand this, is that God is the same God. He changes not, but he revelates in a different way. So what he showed me yesterday, he's going to show me a deeper revelation tomorrow. And so what worked for me on yesterday, the Bible declares he gives new mercy daily. Every day I need to talk to the Lord. Every day I need his mercy. Every day I need his power. Every day I need his strength. Every day I need the Lord to show up in my life. Because he says, you are new wine. You are a different spirit. And when you come to God, God. He says you must be born again. That's a new wine. That's a new spirit. And so what God is saying is that now that you belong to me, you're a new wine, you're a new spirit, I got to ferment you. I got to take you through some trials. I got to pressure you. I got to put you under the pressure. I got to allow some things to be tightened in your life and some other stuff to be loose in your life because I'm fermenting you. And what I'm trying to do in your life, I'm trying to grow you up. You may come out being saved, but every time the storm comes, you almost fall out because you ain't got no faith. God is saying, no, baby, this is the season of fermentation in your life. This is the season where I'm trying to make the very best wine that I can. And that wine is a new spirit that is upon your life. And you need to understand that the reason that you're here today is because God says, I'm saving my best for last. You can't rush good wine. You can't rush it at all. You just have to wait. And you need to know, you can't rush God. You just have to wait. But God says, but you're still in my hand. And even though I'm allowing you to go through a process, I'm still the process. I'm still the path that you're going through. And so if you stay on the path, that is God. He says, I'll make the very best spirit available in and through you. And you need to know, when God says, I'm going to put something new in you, he wants it back. And so whatever you do for God, it won't be what God is going to do for you. See, that's what the story is all about. He's just trying to get you to understand that you know who he is and he knows who you are. And so because God knows who you are, he says, even though you're going through some trials and tribulations, you still ought to have a spiritual high for me. Even though you're going through something, you still ought to be high for me. You still ought to be in love with me. And because you're in love with God, you need to understand that even hell can't have your high. The high that you own is because you know the Lord, because you've been through something. Ain't nobody give you that high. You didn't drink to get it. I went through something. I was fermented to get this high that I got, baby. And I'm on high. I'm on a natural high. I'm on a spiritual high. I'm hot for Jesus. I'm tied up in Jesus. I'm tangled up with Jesus. And every time I think about my trials, think about my tribulations, I'm still hot. I'm hot. I'm so hot. I know that I can just float beyond my situation. Float beyond my troubles. You remember many years ago, you used to hear this song, and it was about float on. In the midst of your troubles, God said, float on. Yeah, it's a bankruptcy over there, but float on. It's a divorce over there, but float on. It's a sickness over there, but float on. It's rejection over here, but float on. Baby, you gotta float. You gotta float. You gotta float. You gotta know I'm high. And you can't have my high. Jesus will teach you that. He says, watch this. Watch this. I'm going to call Matthew. And I know that Matthew is not worthy to be a disciple. You see, you got to understand about yourself is that is God called you, but he called you because he knew you wasn't worthy. See, that's what grace steps in. And that's what this whole story is about this morning. I'm not worthy, but he called me. He called me when I was some bad wine, an old ugly spirit. But he took me, and he took me through a process. And that process was a cross that I had to bear. And when I went through that process, I came through on the other side. I didn't stop in my storm. I didn't stagger in my storm. I came through my storm. I came to talk to somebody here. You're going through something this morning. You're going through hell this morning. You wonder if you're going to make it. Yes, baby, you're going to make it. You're going to come out on the other side. Ain't no devil in hell can stop you. You bad man. You bad woman. You're a child of God. You got to know what's inside of you. There's something inside of you. The Bible declares, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, don't judge because I bump my toes. I'm still bad. I'm still a child of God. I still have a heart of God. And he still loves me in spite of who I am. Come on and give the Lord. Praise him because he loves you. Praise him because he's watching over you. Praise him because you gotta praise him. You know what we're gonna do? Let's just take about a 30-second praise break.
tell you right now what you're praising for. Don't stop praising. He has to stop blessing you. Stop praising. God is taking you. And he's taking you through process. And he says, I'm just trying to make you sweeter.
Thank you, Lord.
And better.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Than before. You know, the funny thing that I learned about wine when it's being fermented is that in order for wine to ferment, you have to add more sugar to the wine or the juice, grape juice. The process of fermentation takes the sugar. It then converts the sugar into alcohol. What you thought about yourself, your ego, your little sweetness, God is saying, you got enough ego in you, but if you give it to me, I'll ferment it, I'll process it, and I'll send it through, and I'll make better wine on the other side. Where you are, what you're going through, God is fermenting you. He's making you better. Stop fighting with God.
Oh yes.
As he bless you. Now it doesn't feel good, but it's good for you.
Yes.
In the midst of going through, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. You may not understand it, but there's a purpose behind it. Here's my question in closing. Has God ever started something in your life and walked out on you? Listen to what I'm saying. If he's never left you, never forsake you, do you think he's going to leave you now? What you're going through is bad. Painful. But do you think God is going to leave you? Do you think what you're going through right now is bigger than God? He still got your stuff in his hand. You scared? He's not scared. You nervous? He's not nervous. You frightened? No. He's full of faith. Let this mind be in him. Your situation and your circumstances. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be fermented by the renewing of your mind. I'm doing something in you. I'm taking you through something. I'm transforming you. I'm taking you through a process. And at the end, you won't look like what you used to look like. You won't even smell like what you've been through. As the deacons come, we want to open the doors of the church.